Let us unite our hearts and voices as we confess our sins before God. Dearly beloved, we've come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Lesson for this evening is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. 16 years ago, next month, a U.S. Airways flight was flying near New York City and suddenly developed some engine problems. And the flight had to try to make an emergency landing. Luckily, there was a veteran pilot on board who had actually done a lot of training of other pilots, especially for emergency situations. His name was Chesley Sullenberger, and maybe you've heard of him, often nicknamed Sully. And he very masterfully took that airplane and made an emergency landing on top of the Hudson River. And there were security cameras nearby on some of the docks nearby that recorded it. It was quite an amazing landing on top of the river. And they opened the doors and deployed the slides that went out. People went out onto the wings and so on. 155 people on board, and everyone was spared. And the pilot that night, as he landed the plane, got off and went back and told everybody how to exit the plane. The plane started filling with water. It was slowly sinking down into the water. And he made sure to walk all the way through the fuselage of the plane as it was sinking, up to his waist in water by now, ready to go under, to make sure that absolutely everybody got off of that plane, which they did. And they were all safe. And it's interesting that here we have this very kind of odd combination and expectation that the one person who's really truly in that situation in authority should also be the person that should be the most willing to die to make sure that everybody else is okay. The authority that he possessed as the pilot was not to be used for his own welfare first. That was actually last. The real benefit and welfare was to those on the plane whom he was taking care of. It's kind of a tiny little picture of what St. Paul is talking about when he writes to the congregation in Ephesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, who has taken on human flesh, we celebrate that at Christmas and through Epiphany, that this very Son of God possesses all authority. He is the head of all things, including his church. He said to his disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Paul says about him elsewhere, "He is the firstborn over all creation, above all things." And that's certainly the case when it comes to his bride, the church. He's referred to frequently in Scripture as the head of the body, in the same way that your physical head rules over your body. It determines things for the sake of your arms and legs and limbs. And yet, in the mind of Jesus, his authority and this supremacy that he possesses over all things in the world and over his church, that supremacy that he has was not to be used for his benefit and for his own personal welfare, but rather for the care of those he came to save, and for the care of you and me as members of his church. And that's what Paul is referring to. He says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify, that means make her pure before God, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, through your baptism, in other words, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Just like a groom comes to see his beautiful bride on their wedding day. And according to Christian custom, she was often dressed in a nice white gown to depict that holiness that Christ now gives to his bride, the church, in the waters of baptism. So those of you who were baptized into Christ, the Bible says you have been clothed with Christ. The very holiness that you're going to need for God to let you into heaven someday, your Lord Jesus has come to earn that for you and to give that to you, even in the waters of baptism. And not only that, but he also goes and willingly sacrifices himself for our welfare and for our benefit. Jesus once said about himself, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So it's that image of our Lord Jesus on the cross, willingly dying and even feeling your and my hell, so we would never have to know what that's like. It is that image of our Lord Jesus on the cross doing that for us that St. Paul puts before Christian men who are to be husbands. And he says, "This is how I would like you to love your bride, your wife, the same way Christ has loved us, the members of his church who are like his bride." And so God places before us the sacrifice of his Son, and he puts that in front of men, and he says, "This is how I want you to be toward your wife. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." In other words, in our minds, the welfare and happiness of our wives is to take priority. And the decisions that we are to make in things is for their benefit and for their good, as well as for the children. And God is saying that in the same way Christ did that for his bride, that's how Christian husbands are to be for their brides. Now, we are sinful, weak people. We certainly don't do this perfectly. Please don't talk to my wife. But this is the model, if you will, that God puts before us. And in the same way that Christ has done this for us members of his church, and he has won our affection, why do you love Jesus? The reason you love Jesus is because he died for you. He willingly took your hell so you could go to heaven forever. He willingly lived a perfect life in your place so you could be holy before God. That's why we love Christ. He's been so wonderful to us. And so in the same way that Christ has won the affection of his bride, the church, God puts that before husbands and says, "I want you to love your wives in such a way that you will win their affection, that you will win their hearts to love and respect you as well by having a servant's heart toward her." You know, that pilot Sully that saved all of those people, there were 155 people, and they had a 10-year reunion of that event, and nearly all of them who were still living came back to celebrate that with him. And all of them have expressed throughout their life how greatly indebted they are to him. One lady wrote a song in his honor. Others have written books about it. And they frequently get interviewed about that day. And in all of those interviews, people just talk about how much love and respect that they have for him, for the fact that he so willingly spared his own life to spare their lives and risked his own life. And I'm sure that if they were to meet him in a restaurant by accident someday, and they would have no trouble going up and buying his lunch for him. Because of the great sacrifice that he made in order to spare their lives. And so this is how it is. There's a motivation in Christ's members, the bride, the church, the bride of the church. There's a motivation in us that has to do with gratitude and affection and appreciation for our Lord Jesus, to think of all the things that he's done to give us this amazing future that we have waiting for us in the mansions above. And so the members of Christ's church, knowing and seeing what our Lord Jesus was willing to sacrifice for us, this stirs up in our hearts. It wins our hearts. It wins our affection toward him. And we don't view Jesus' authority over us like an oppressive thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a joyful thing. Now, that same picture of how the bride of Christ is happy to listen to the voice of authority that's helping her, that has demonstrated his love for her, That's what God now puts before Christian wives. And he says, I want you to submit to that authority of your husband, and I want you to listen, and so on. And it's all part of a package, if you will, of love depicted in the beautiful relationship of Christ to his bride, the church. I mentioned earlier that the image God puts before Christian husbands is that of Christ on the cross. I would say the image that God puts before Christian wives is that of the woman who was crying at Jesus' feet and washing them with her hair. Her affection and love because of his outpouring of love for her. So, St. Paul says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That means in the same way that you love your Savior and what he's done for you, try to look at your husband in that same way. Certainly he's not as perfect as our Lord is. That God would have wives also look at their husbands in that way, as one who's there to care for them and love them. And part of your role is also to assist them in being the loving servant leader in the home. God certainly considers the precious estate of marriage as a wonderful thing. Our Lord Jesus used it as the arena in which to do his first public miracle. And God clearly blesses those relationships. Jesus says that God is the one that puts together husband and wife. And think how highly our gracious God must think of this estate of marriage, that he would use it as a picture of how he loves us and the wonderful home that he has waiting for us in heaven. May God stir up our hearts to appreciate and cherish marriage as a wonderful gift from him. But to also see in our roles as husbands and wives a small, even though imperfect, reflection of the perfect relationship that our loving Savior has toward us that's going to finally take us to our eternal home. Amen.
Thank you. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.